good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakanjahare. Hey, we discuss Native issues, Wendy. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues. And so we're kind of like a little magazine show here. We have guests. Today we're going to have Winona LaDuke, who kind of gave us a little sneak peek of what's going on up in the deep north. Mm-hmm. And then our regular on Monday, Wendy, is Dr. Anthony Stately.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Hey, before we get with the news with Ogama, Wendy, I just want to give prayers to Palestine and all our comrades out there that are going through the same thing that Native Americans went through.
Yeah.
So that's just hopefully have peace and stop supporting this madness, United States government.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, that's. Do you have anything to say before we?
I just
want to
say it was a gorgeous day, no humidity, and I loved it. I was outside all day, so I'm just happy.
Well, here, Wendy should be doing the weather once a day here for
will.
Us. Yeah,
I'd
exactly.
Be happy too.
Awesome. So, hey, let's go with Ogama with the news. And one of the things that's really exciting with Ogama is that she gives us Native-centric news and what's going on with these nasty pipelines and everything. Mm-hmm. So things that you won't hear on other radio stations or radio shows. Welcome, Ogama.
Hi, Anim Bujo, everybody. My name is Ogama Ganuakwaye, and I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I have some news today. I'm going to be talking a lot about the Line 3 movement today. Most importantly, I wanted to start with the Ride for the Rivers, which has been a bike ride that Shanai Mattson of Honor the Earth has been doing. She is riding more than 200 miles in the opposite direction that the oil in the current Line 3 flows. And today she received a citation issued by the Cache County Sheriffs in Hubbard County, Minnesota. She was going down a road that she had marked as part of her route, and it was off of the main drag. So basically it means that was off of the highway that had no shoulder. Once she reached that road, Cache County police were waiting for her, and they told her that she could not pass on the road, that the public road was temporarily closed to non-local traffic for public safety. And later, they told her that it was a county restriction due to construction activities, and it applied to all non-local vehicles, including bikes.
Yeah.
Part of Shanae's Ride for the Rivers is she's going to the river crossings where Enbridge intends to drill underneath rivers and other waterways in northern Minnesota. So she attempted to get to the river via the public road that she was told she could not take a vehicle down. So her and another member of her film crew attempted to go down there, and they were both issued citations after being spotted by Securitas, which is private security that Enbridge Energy hires, and Cache County Sheriffs. They were cited under 160.2715, which is going around a barricade. And she did ask if anybody wants to talk to the Cache County Sheriffs about why they are selectively restricting access to public roads or waters, or whether or not they're doing this to bill the extra hours that Enbridge is paying for with our public service people and police departments, sheriff's departments, and otherwise in northern Minnesota. You can call and talk to the Cache County Sheriffs at 218-547-1424.
Ogama, so, I saw that, and they were saying that it was really soggy and bad for transportation, but really we're in a drought, right?
Yes, yep. The road was completely dry, and after they issued them both citations, after the Cache County Sheriff issued citations to these two water protectors, the Cache County Sheriffs actually then admitted that they had been following Shanai since Bacchus, and today was the first day she had actually posted her route publicly. So it became increasingly obvious exactly how much they were singling her out and restricting access to her specifically. So that is what's happening in the North in a lot of these situations. If you are interested in getting involved to Stop Lying 3 and this really big event that's coming up the first week of June, tomorrow is the National Call of Action and Information Call for the Treaty People Gathering, which is set for June 5th through 8th in northern Minnesota. However, tomorrow at 6 p.m. Central Time, there is a Zoom online call to action. You can find the link on Honor the Earth, MN350, or Native Roots Radio's page. Again, that's at 6 p.m. Central tomorrow. It is the call to action and info call for the Treaty People Gathering. Speakers tomorrow are going to include Tara Hauska of GNU Collective, Don Goodwin of Rise Coalition, and Camp McGizzy organizer Tayshia Martineau, plus others. And on that note, if you have not yet signed up to attend the Treaty People Gathering in northern Minnesota, June 5th through 8th, it's not too late to sign up. Sign up at treatypeoplegathering.com. There is a form that you're going to have to fill out, and that's to help with the logistics and safety of the event. So this means if you show up and you haven't signed up and you're not there, you know, with a form, there might not be enough food or camping space reserved for you. There is a lot of really beautiful people working behind the scenes to make sure that the logistics of these really large events are handled. So take the time, fill out the form for them. There's a lot of really good questions, and there's contact information there. You know, if you need help getting there, if you're not sure where to stay, they will have somebody contact you to help you with that. So again, please go to treatypeoplegathering.com and fill out the form. The time is now to rise, protect, and stop Line 3. Other events coming up in Stop Line 3 include Mondays for the Mississippi, which is happening right now at the Wild Rice Protector Camp near Bagley, Minnesota. Don't worry if you miss tonight's event. It is a recurring event that starts at 5 p.m. every Monday at the Wild Rice Protector Camp near Bagley. You can check out Rise Coalition or Honor the Earth for more information and the location. And honestly, if you're listening to us in the Twin Cities, it is a gorgeous drive up there. You go right past the Mississippi headwaters. Robert, tell them how beautiful it is. It is such a gorgeous drive.
Wendy and I went up to the headwaters
there.
Lake
Itasca.
Yeah, and it's just beautiful. It's sad, though, Wen, to see all that destruction up there, because it was so beautiful. We did it before the pre-destruction.
Exactly. So there's beautiful weather, and this is a free event. You just show up. So why not take a quick road trip north? And it's family friendly. You can go up there and get educated about the desecration that Enbridge has done to these lands of Minnesota, how you can protect the water, and exactly why this project is so dangerous for Minnesota and every state south of us. Thank you to the Mississippi headwaters. If you can't get all the way to Bacchus on Mondays, tomorrow in Fargo-Moorhead, there's an event in front of the downtown Wells Fargo Bank from 11:30 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. It's called Dance the Light Away, and that is hosted by the Fargo-Moorhead Water Protectors Public Group. They are dancing and holding signs in solidarity with the Anishinaabe community and to help fight the Enbridge Line 3 pipeline and to raise awareness and call for the complete shutdown of tar sands oil productions, among other things. Also tomorrow in Park Rapids, Minnesota, is Salsa at Sunset. That is 6 to 8 p.m. at 101 2nd Street West in Park Rapids. And Wednesday at 3:30 to 4:30 in Bemidji is the Wednesdays for Water Dance at the Paul and Babe. So that those events are recurring every week, too.
Wow, that's cool. Anything else? We got like 30 seconds left, Ogama.
Yeah, absolutely. A common question people are asking is what and how can you donate? There is a website. You can go to mn350.org/line3 mutual aid, and they will have a ton of information and a giant list that's kept up to date on what you can donate.
Pini Gigi for that great news about Line 3 and the desecration up there in the deep north, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to Clyde Belcourt and John Anderson. They're listening right now, and Uncle Clyde, stay strong, man. What an inspiration. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we'll be right back with Winona LaDuc.
Stay with us.
Stay with us.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. And you don't, I almost forgot, but you don't have to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them with questions. There's lots of questions now because a lot of things have changed. So
exactly.
They get updates every day.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Hey, we have our ally Winona LaDuke, and she sent us a little piece to play today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're always excited. She's been on our show quite a bit over the last couple of years, and we're really excited to have her. Wonder if we can get that going.
This is Winona LaDuke, and I'm going to talk about evicting Enbridge. Hey, I just returned from an Enbridge eviction party. What am I talking about? Well, on May 12th and 13th, people gathered at the Straits of Mackinac to enforce the state of Michigan's orders to shut down Enbridge's Line 5 pipeline. The pipe was placed at the bottom of the strait, separating Lake Michigan from Lake Huron in 1953. The state says that the pipe is a risk, and Enbridge said it won't shut it down. The pipe's almost 70 years old. So who's in charge is the question, and the bigger question may be, how did a 60-year-old Canadian multinational corporation get to hold us all hostage in the Great Lakes? While we're at it, Minnesota with 6 Enbridge pipelines, as compared to Michigan with just 2 Enbridge pipelines, might want to take notice of what happens when the party is over and the pipe needs to go. On May 12th and 13th, hundreds of people gathered on the shores of Lake Michigan following an international press conference where both Canadian and U.S. citizens, tribal nations, and businesses called for Enbridge to abide by the law. On November of this last year, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer ordered the Michigan Department of Natural Resources to revoke and terminate Enbridge's 1953 easement with the state, effective May 12th, while giving Enbridge the same deadline to decommission the line. Enbridge rebuked the state's order. The company contends that the state of Michigan has no jurisdiction to shut down the pipeline, and that jurisdiction is held by the federal government. Michigan argues that the state has the jurisdiction since the state issued the easement to Enbridge in 1953. Additionally, while the Great Lakes, representing a fifth of the world's water, are international waters, the lake bed under the Straits of Michigan, under the Straits of Mackinac, belongs to the state and the tribes according to federal law. 28 entities so far have thrown in their support for the state's jurisdiction, including 4 tribes: Bay Mills, Grand Traverse Band of Odawa and Chippewas, Little Traverse Band of Odawas, and Nodawapaseti, Huron Band of Potawatomi. The Great Lakes Business Network and 6 other environmental organizations have also supported Michigan's plea. As well, 16 states, Washington, D.C., including the Attorney Generals of California, Delaware, New York, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota have joined. Enbridge's arguments that the people of Michigan, having once said yes to a pipeline 68 years ago in 1953, have no further say in the matter is both absurd and anti-democratic. That's what Governor Whitmer commented in response to Enbridge. The Line 5 dual pipelines that run through the Straits of Mackinac are a ticking time bomb that threatens the health and safety of Michiganders and our Great Lakes, Governor Gretchen Whitmer said. Whitmer noted that the operations of Line 5 pipeline after May 13 would be considered a trespass, and that profits derived after that time would belong to the state. The Bay Mills tribe and other signatories to the 1836 treaty also opposed the pipeline, and on May 10th, the Bay Mills Indian community passed an ordinance banning Enbridge, banishing them, actually, from their territory. The tribe is supported by the Native American Rights Fund and the Earth Justice Lawyers. Bay Mills and Banishment. As part of the Treaty of 1836, the Anishinaabe reserved for all time the right to hunt, fish, and gather in the ceded land and waters of the states of Michigan, including the ceded waters of Lake Superior, Huron, and Michigan, which includes the Straits of Mackinac. Bay Mills banished Enbridge. Enbridge is continuing harm to our treaty rights, our environment, our history, our citizens, and our culture is a prime example of how banishment should be used, said President Whitney Gravel of the Bay Mills Executive Council. Quote, banishment is a permanent and final action that is used to protect all that we hold dear. Banishment is not a practice taken lightly by a tribal government, the tribe explained. Banishment is a traditional, historic, and customary form of tribal law that has existed since time immemorial and is only exercised by the tribe when egregious acts of misconduct that harm tribal citizens, treaty rights, and territories and resources occur. As part of the banishment resolution, Bay Mills Executive Council requested that any regulatory authority with oversight to enforce the banishment follow up. This includes the Chippewa Odawa Resource Authority, Grand Traverse Band of Odawa and Chippewa Indians, Little River Band of Odawas, Little Traverse Bay Band of Odawas, Sault Ste. Marie Band of Chippewa Indians, the State of Michigan, and the United States. Quote, Enbridge has weaponized our traditional culture as a way to influence issues around Line 5. And while the pipeline segment beneath the straits has thankfully not burst, Gravel said, noting Enbridge's recent hiring of a number of former tribal officials and employees as cultural contractors and pointing to the divisiveness of their behavior. In 1999, the pipeline had leaked 226,000 gallons of crude oil and natural gas, forcing 500 residents to evacuate, said Gravel. Line 5 has spilled 33 times since 1968, leaking over 1.1 million gallons of oil. And those are just the documented spills. Although no harm or no oil or gas leaks from Line 5 under the straits has occurred, it carries 540,000 barrels of oil per day. The pipeline, however, has been struck by boat anchors and other equipment in recent years. Last year, the line was shut down temporarily after an anchor support sustained damage. Indeed, a number of anchors under the pipeline have been disintegrated. Where's the money? Enbridge's ability to pay for any accidents is also in question. The company originally estimated that a spill in the Straits of Mackinac could cost $300 million to clean up, a number which seemed rather improbable since the Kalamazoo spill cost over $1 billion to clean up. That number has increased with the most recent agreement in the state, putting the cleanup at $1.878 billion at a low estimate. The highest is $45 billion. With prolonged costs and damages from the Enbridge Kalamazoo spill in 2010, Michigan has become increasingly concerned with the risk of the Line 5 pipeline and the company's ability to pay for a catastrophic accident, as indeed an oil spill in the Great Lakes would be. Michigan is also concerned that all of the money that Enbridge has is in Canada, while the liability is in the United States. Enbridge is the third largest corporation in Canada, but the assets are shielded by subsidiary ownership. The company has over 275 subsidiaries and no assurances that those subsidiaries could pay the $1.8 billion in the agreement. The assets are in Canada, and they are not subject to the Line 5 agreement. Unsure of Enbridge's estimates of cost of the catastrophic spill, the state worked with experts at the University of Michigan. Michigan State University's risk report found that the possible cost of an oil spill cleanup were at $45 billion, and there was no assurance that Enbridge had this money. More than that, the damages of the oil spill in terms of life and Anishinaabe people are really unquantifiable. In a time of financial insecurity worldwide, self-insuring Enbridge is the largest importer of tar sands oil in the world, transporter, and the market for the tar sands oil is diminishing. 75% of the tar sands oil that comes into the United States comes in through Enbridge, and that market is diminishing. And that is how they secure their insurance. All of that is happening while the risk of a spill is increasing. It's a regional problem, not just a Michigan problem. In Minnesota, Enbridge also self-insures, and the only money in an escrow account that Enbridge has is to pay not for damages of an accident, but to finance the repression of water protectors. Enbridge's ability to pay for any catastrophic accident is questionable. And in addition to that, Enbridge has over $23 billion estimated in pipe removal costs ahead of them, and those are pending as a liability, since at some point, Enbridge's old pipes will have to leave. None of that liability is listed on Enbridge's books. All of this math points to long-term concerns in a drying up tar sands market and new proposals for Line 3. Michigan's research team determined that it might be a good idea to check on Enbridge's bank accounts and to make sure that some of the money stays here on the U.S. side of the border. After all, the company should at least have to clean up Red Lake Leech Lake, Bad River, and Fond du Lac reservations, who have borne a huge risk of Enbridge for half a century. Old pipes are old pipes, and someday they will need to be decommissioned. There's a lesson or two to be learned from Michigan. It's probably time for a U.S. escrow account for the self-insured Canadian multinational. As the Canadian multinational tries to dictate who has the right to order decommissioning, we may have the same problems as Michigan. It's kind of like having a guest who won't leave. More than that, Minnesota might want to do some checking considering the immense liability at the end of the tar sands era. It would be wise to know how Enbridge will clean up their mess before they go bankrupt. Big Witch, this is Winona LaDuke talking about Enbridge, water protectors, and the eviction party in Michigan. Thank you for your time.
Wow, we're always excited to have Winona on, Wendy. Mm-hmm.
She explains things so well, so clear about what's going on, and Enbridge is really so evil.
That's right. Hey, up next, Dr. Stately with our weekly update on the COVID vaccine and some things that are happening here in the Twin Cities and questions about things that are happening all over Turtle Island. We'll be right back after a short break.
Stay with us.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are a Lucent Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice, and the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, you know, I say this each week, and I say this about a lot of our guests, but we're really excited to have Dr. Stately on.
Absolutely.
He gives us the rundown of what's happening here in Indian Country and then all over Turtle Island, which for you people and maybe in Madison that don't know that, Turtle Island is the whole northern hemisphere, and it's shaped as a turtle. So we knew that because we had ancient astronauts. No, because we're of earth and sky, and so... We have Dr. Stately here. Welcome, Dr. Stately.
Hi, good afternoon. Good evening, everyone.
So, hey, what's been going on? I mean, we got nice weather. We have, I guess there was mountain dance in Minneapolis.
If you're vaccinated, you don't have to wear your masks inside or outside in most places.
Mm-hmm. There's some places that you still have to, like, because even though the governor is sort of like, you know, relax the restrictions for the state, local jurisdictions, and then certain businesses, private enterprises, those kinds of things can still sort of implement their policy as they see fit to keep their, you know, just to kind of keep their themselves and their staff safe, I suppose. But, you know, how do you, I think that's the other thing is like, how do you enforce something like that when not necessarily everybody's been vaccinated and not necessarily everybody has proof that they've been vaccinated? So it's a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah, a lot of people who I've talked to are vaccinated and they're still going to be wearing their masks inside. Yeah. Or they're going to be wearing their masks in a crowded outdoor area also. So I think that's pretty much what Robert and I feel like we want to do for now anyway, and we're going to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, I went to the Powwow Grounds in Minneapolis and it just didn't, you know, after that, a day after that announcement, and it was like, I don't really feel safe about having, you know, my mask off, period, and unless I'm sipping on a latte or having a little fry bread taco there.
Yep. Their fried bread tacos aren't all that little, though, either.
Yeah, don't tell Wendy I had a fried taco.
Yeah, no, not necessarily the best thing for your diet there, Robert.
Yeah, I know, once in a great while, but it's...
Do they make vegetarian tacos over there?
Yeah, no, they don't. But fried bread's vegan.
The fried bread is awesome. Robert, Bob Rice has some of the best fried bread.
Yeah,
I stop by and buy up whatever he has left at the end of the day and bring it home.
Mm-hmm. Are you serious?
I do. Wow. Like I bring like 10 to 15 pieces home because my kids will eat them through the weekend, and I'll make a pot of soup, or we'll have a little family gathering or something like that, and I feed them all fried bread. Yeah. I love it because I don't have to make it. My house doesn't have to smell like firebird grease. It's, better for me than I don't have, when I go to work the next day, I don't have to worry about, people chasing me because I smell like firebird grease.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my gosh. The Italians, when I was a kid growing up in an Italian house, my grandmother mostly would make something like fry bread. It was called zeppoli. We put like powdered sugar on it, and it was like more of like a dessert type of thing. But you could eat it without the sugar.
I think that's true of fry bread too. Like, you go to the powwows now, and hey, this is an exciting thing, right? Like, we're gonna all get vaccinated and be able to go back to powwows. Right. I hear chefs in the Milwaukee Sioux community is gonna have their powwow this year. I'm so excited. I live right down the street from them. It's an amazing powwow.
It is.
Leech Lake.
Powwow every year we go to that powwow.
So, like, if anything, to motivate you to get vaccinated so you can be out and about and have amazing experiences, like dance and sing and eat fry bread with your family, that would be awesome.
Yeah, one thing about that powwow too is that they have Milwaukee Sioux have a restaurant that's down the street, and they have like a vegan, remember that? It's traditional food, Wendy. And we always get some vegan something out of there, but yeah, that is a great powwow. Yeah.
Their Mazo Pia store, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
They have a really nice setup there. Get some buffalo tacos and we're in business.
So there was a round dance this weekend, like I was saying, and that was exciting. We weren't able to attend because we were attending our godchildren that day, but boy, it looked like a lot of people were having fun, and a lot of people were saying that's the first time they've been out in a year and a half.
I didn't go either because my son's 14th birthday was that day, and I had to wrangle like 12 kids or so in paintball and a paintball fight. I heard it was beautiful. It was a beautiful day, and it was their Mother's Day powwow, right? So in celebration of their mothers and their grandmothers, the life givers powwow. It was a really beautiful to see all those folks. I got to watch a little bit of on Facebook Live, see people I saw, our people I know, relatives dancing in the park. That's really nice.
All right. I saw Peggy Lorenz and Autumn Dilly out there the Bedote booth. I saw pictures of that. That's awesome. I'm a board member of Bedote, so it's good to see that we're trying to get some more kids in that emergent school and speak the language.
Yeah. How has the pandemic impacted Bedote? I wasn't really clear. They've been struggling.
It's interesting. They're holding their own, but they're doing distance learning. And I think what happened was the Ojibwe part of the school is now going back. I don't know if it's full time, but so there was a little difference of opinion on there. But they're holding strong with the numbers. And I think, once you get really, become really a true emergent school where even everywhere from the lunch lady to the custodians are speaking the language, then you're really making a difference through emergent school.
Yeah, that's exciting. That's wonderful. I certainly wish that my children had had the benefit of having something like that when they were, little tiny guys,
Right. Yeah.
I say something to them now, and they just kind of look at me with this look of bewilderment, like they don't know what I'm saying.
But they're gonna what you're doing and the great people that are around you, they'll come around when they're ready to come around. I've noticed that. I personally have been a late bloomer in my life, right, Wendy? Mm-hmm. Wendy was said you have a lot. I'm gonna marry you because you have a lot of potential.
There you go.
And I'm coming through here in my 60s. I think, just being a good example and being around it like they are, they're going to come too, because we talked about this a little bit, is that we've gone like a generation and a half or a couple generations to try to totally erase our language and our ways, not to mention we haven't been able to, since I was a junior in high school in 1978, and that puts that in perspective that we couldn't, you know, do our own religion until then.
Legally. Yeah, yeah. Me too. Gee, we're like
twins.
Yeah, we're twins. Separated at birth. I was going to say that one of the things that I was at this meeting, and there was a woman from the Mille Lacs band that was talking about the impact that COVID had had on their community, and that they had lost quite a number of their original speakers, like their, you know, and that has been like such a, I think about the impact that COVID has had on Native people in our communities and our tribal communities specifically, just the significant impact. I mean, the idea of like losing so many of our original speakers that knew our language, have spoken their language since they were born, you know, practically mm-hmm. since the time they could utter words. What a tremendous impact that has had on our community. So we have there's a lot to be grateful for, that we still have some of these people in our communities and our families, and that we have the ability now to benefit from a vaccine and be able to sort of kind of protect our communities and restore our language and reclaim it and make sure that it's here. Our language really, even though I'm not a fluent Ojibwe speaker, I understand some of it, and probably speak more Dakota or understand more Dakota than I do Ojibwe. But knowing our language is what really separates us from, culturally, from a lot of the other sort of folks on Turtle Island.
Yeah, agree 100%. And there was a devastation in the Navajo Nation that when this first started, I just could not believe, you know. And then you talk to somebody like what's going down on Arizona. We've had that young lady that's the president, and they closed the borders right away. They protected their 3,000, Amber Torres, I'm sorry, their 3,000 members right in there, yeah. And closed the borders right away because they were able to.
Yeah. So I think I mentioned this last week in our conversation. You know, I'm excited that and proud that NAC is going to be sponsoring an event this weekend on Saturday the 22nd. In about 5 days, and we're doing a 12 and above event for everybody in the Twin Cities, and we're really excited because anybody from 12 years old and up, even though this flyer says actually it's we're billing it as a youth event because we really think that a lot of youth want to kind of return to quote unquote life mm-hmm. as we know before COVID, at least, to be able to do things like go to the ball games, be out and about, gather with friends in parks and such, and relatives at powwows and such, that this is going to be our ticket to be able to do that. So we're really excited about it. We've had quite a big response, and mm-hmm. we're still taking, NAC is still taking reservations and signups for that event this Saturday. So,
Let's talk more about it after the break, because that's exciting. And I know, just to give one more shout out to the round dances, I do believe they gave out 100 free, I think it was Pfizer shots. And so that was exciting. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, you know, I read somewhere that natives are the highest percentage of people are getting vaccinated. So I don't know, you can clarify that or call and let us know, but that's what I heard, and you know how rumors are. But we'll get back to you, Dr. Stately, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're going to be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
We are the Alusa Nation.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio. Gents, I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl!
Howl!
Oh. Okay. Hey, we're here with Dr. Anthony Stately, CEO at the Native American Community Clinic. And we always love checking in with Dr. Stately. And, you know, Dr. Stately, you have an event coming up. I'd really like to hear about that. And then we got a couple questions we want to head your way.
Sure. So our event is this Saturday from 10 o'clock in the morning till 2 p.m. And we'll extend those hours if we have to, like if we get an overwhelming demand for the vaccine. We are vaccinating everyone 12 and above this Saturday with the Pfizer vaccine, and people will return for their second dose on June 12th. And this is a partnership between us, Native American Community Clinic, the Red Lake Nation, and M Health. And we are also partnering with the state of Minnesota, Minnesota Department of Health. And we're really excited. You showed two of our posters for our to encourage vaccines. Those two posters were developed by local artists, or Minnesota artists, I should say. One is the Dakota. This one here you're showing right now is Sarah Agustin Howes, who is an Ojibwe artist. Lives up north. She developed this beautiful poster. You can see the image of Meshomas here, his hands on his granddaughter's shoulders, taking care of and protecting, doing his job to protect the future generations, which is a responsibility we all hold. And then I love Marlena Miles. She's a Dakota artist, local Dakota artist here in the Twin Cities. Beautiful job. You can see inside this individual is the future generation, and also an interpretation of our responsibility. You know, just these two women are such amazing artists. I'm so proud of the work that they did in developing these graphics for our campaign to sort of encourage vaccination. We actually printed these images on t-shirts, which we hope to be able to have for folks showing up for the vaccine. We probably won't have them for this first event, but we'll have them by the time people come for their second event, for their follow-up shot.
What about radio hosts? Will the radio hosts get a t-shirt?
I think we might be able to.
We'll probably do a trade, right?
And the radio host wife?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting, Wendy, during the break, when I popped those up there, Wendy said those are beautiful, and so
stunning pieces of work by renowned and artists in our communities that are doing some amazing work. I don't know how many people know Sarah Howes. She is the artist who created the Heartberry blanket, that eighth generation, Native owned and operated, inspired natives is their tagline. Our producer blanket, Heartberry blanket, and then Marlena Miles has these beautiful panels. If you walk through the Minneapolis downtown library, you're gonna see these big, beautiful panels that she designed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she does unbelievable art and so detailed, right?
Yeah.
Wendy had a question for you, kind of changing subjects, or not subjects, but just gears. Wendy, we wanted to ask Dr. Stately.
Well, I was just wondering, you know, when I heard the news of the new mask mandates that you don't have to wear, you know, masks outside and in most indoor places, but of course some places you do. My initial reaction was, wow, that's great. I'm really happy about that. And then my second reaction was like, hey, wait a second. What about all those kids who are 12 and younger? Maybe some who have, you know, they're sick. Maybe some have asthma. Maybe some have diabetes. What about them? How are we supposed to protect them with this type of mask mandate? And I was just like wondering, like, how do you feel about it?
Yeah, I think that you know, we should encourage folks to err on the side of being cautious. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a lot of benefits to sort of like if you follow the CDC guideline, you can also look on the Minnesota Department of Health's webpage for some more information about sort of recommendations around mask wearing. And you know, we will be in a better place when we all do our part by getting as many people we can in our communities and our families and vaccinated in the state and in the nation. When we get to about that 70% or so of individuals who are vaccinated, we'll be a little bit in a better place, because we'll be able to establish what is called quote unquote herd immunity or such. And while it's true that Minnesota has made a significant improvement, when you look at there's a website that John Hopkins University sort of has used to create sort of like, you can look at the map of the United States. You can actually look at the map of the world. You've got COVID cases, vaccination rates, a bunch of other things. And of course, all across the United States, we've done a much better job than we were in a better place than we were even 3 or 4 months ago. And Minnesota is one of these states that has a very high rate of vaccination uptake, but we're still only, we're hovering around 60% or less of folks who've gotten at least one vaccine, about 60, 65%. So we're still not even at the 70%. And then we have a lot of people who are not showing up for the second vaccine. So I think there's a good, 40% of people who get the first vaccine are not returning for the second one. And the second one is really, really important. It's what gives you the full immunity, right? And I think even though you are fully vaccinated, you have the less likelihood that you're going to contract the virus and or get sick yourself. We're still kind of like, understanding whether or not you're able to still contract it and then pass it on. So like if you have small children in your home, you want to be thoughtful about not wearing your mask and being out in public, because you've been vaccinated or so forth, and then coming home and possibly spreading something to your children. So this kind of like using some, I tell everybody, that all my loved ones, everybody that sort of kind of will allow me to sort of kind of give them some influential advice, I say err on the side of caution. Like, how hard is it, or what's the benefit and the cost for like erring on the side of caution? You're going to protect the people who you're closest to and that you love.
I agree, definitely.
I mean, there's so many kids who have underlying health conditions and they could get really sick, so we just have to be careful and watch them.
And we have a lot of, in Minneapolis specifically, in the area where NAC does a lot of its work, we have some of the highest rates of asthma in the inner city in Minneapolis. Our communities have some of the, and we have such poor air quality. Lots of our poorer neighborhoods are right along, some of the rates that are some of the areas in the tracks that have some of the highest, pollutants in the city. They're right along the 94 interstate 94 corridor and such. Just like makes the most sense to sort of just make sure that we're doing our part to help our little ones stay safe.
Hey, Dr. Stately, give us one more, before we let you go, one more shout out about your events coming up, and then
Well, I encourage everybody to come to our vaccine event this Saturday, May 22nd for your first dose, and return 3 weeks later on June 12th for your second dose. And everybody 12 and above, even adults. So if you want to bring your kids and you haven't gotten your vaccine yourself, you can come and show up as well. Everybody can get to the registration on, register online at this address here on this site, Jotform. Just click that little link, and if you're not able to get it here, you can go to NAC's website and our Facebook page, and you can click that link and register today for that vaccine.
Wow, Pini-Gigi, thank you so much, Dr. Stately, for stopping in and with the great information. Thank you so much.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes. All right. Hey, I would like to end with these thoughts, Wendy. Mm-hmm. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. The ground on which we stand on is sacred ground, is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. Shout out to our Palestinians and relatives. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier, Stop Line 3.